Good evening, church. It's good that we are together this evening. I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, and we're going to be noticing verse 10 together in just a moment. It's a wonderful day for the congregation here at Livingston. This morning was so warm with kind of a reunion time. We had some people we've not seen all summer come back and be with us, and we're so happy about that. Have some new faces, new friends to meet, and that is a wonderful thing as well. I trust that when you came in this evening, you were handed an interactive outline. For those of you that might be a guest here tonight, your first time, that's a study guide. We're going to fill in the blanks as we look at the scriptures together at this time. That's also a place, if you'd like to talk to me about something that's said tonight, make a comment, ask a question, write it down on that paper so you don't forget. And we'll be sticking around for a couple of moments after services and be glad to talk with you. Love to make new friends. The other thing I want to tell the congregation about, and why I'm so excited as well, is last Sunday morning we shared the ineedgoodnewstoday.com tool, this evangelism tool. And as was mentioned last Sunday, we're going to have a training time, a workshop for that, 20 minutes following the service this evening. So if you were here last Sunday and you want to know more, come to the workshop. If you hadn't heard about it till now, come to the workshop. It's going to be at B2. That's that classroom building right out the front doors here. Again, about 20 minutes after we're done this evening. It's a new season for us, isn't it? Back to school time, new school time. And anytime you come to a new season with new people, new opportunities, I think it's good to focus ourselves in the scriptures and to think particularly about excellence and the value of excellence. Tonight I want to talk to you about always go for excellence. Always go for excellence. Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. And what's the wise man saying there by inspiration? Basically, you know, we get one shot at this life. So do it right. Go for excellence. And it's fitting for people of God to go for excellence. God is excellent. He is. Our God stands above all others. And the Bible says that we are made in the image of God. I think that's a big reason why we love excellence, and we do. We love to see it, we appreciate it, we desire it, we talk about it. Excellence excites us. In fact, it excites everyone who is part of it, who is involved in excellence. I got to tell you a couple of stories here real quick at the outset that for me really drove home the power of excellence and how exciting it is to be a part of it. Now, these are a couple of waiter stories. I don't know if your family has a waiter story, okay? But what I'm about to share with you is a little bit of lore, a little bit of legend in the Roberts house. Because Julie and I have these two waiter stories, and we still talk about these things. We still laugh about these things. It ties into excellence, though. The first one goes back a couple of years now. It was the rehearsal dinner, okay, for our wedding. And what a lovely night it was. My parents had gotten this room set aside at a fancy hotel, and there was the chef, and he made a menu, and, you know, all the courses. It was delicious. It was fantastic. Professional waitstaff, okay, career waiters. And this fellow is bringing around the dessert cart at the end, and he stops at our table and begins to tell us about the wonderful desserts. Oh, he said, you must try the cheesecake. It's so rich and creamy and the fruity toppings. Or the lemon cake with the light zest of raspberry. Or a rich, rich chocolate torte. There was one other item on the tray. And he stopped and he looked and he said, or the carrot cake. He said it just like that. Now, I don't know if he didn't like carrot cake. Or I don't know if that wasn't a good carrot cake. I couldn't tell you because I didn't order the carrot cake. He knew that was not excellent. That's what he was communicating, and nobody wanted the carrot cake. Give you another story about a waiter. This is a few years later. This is in Tennessee. Again, a really nice Italian restaurant. It's me, my wife, the children. Professional waiter, career waiter. He's coming around, and boy, everything looks so good on the menu. And I'm thinking I might want a pizza or maybe a calzone. And so I asked him, I said, is the calzone good here? And his eyes lit up. He said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I said, well, is it very large? Should my wife and I share one? He said, do you want me to tell you or do you want to be amazed? Well, I think I want to be amazed.
And I was. And it was excellent. He knew that his calzones were excellent. He was part of an excellent restaurant doing wonderful things. I tell you, excellence excites everyone. Always go for excellence. And the opposite also holds true, doesn't it? That when you know someone is expecting something great, and for whatever reason, you're not going to quite deliver, it's one of those carrot cake moments in life. And we don't want those. We don't want to be a part of those. We want to go for excellence. That whatever our hand finds to do, we do it with all our might. Why do we appreciate excellence? Why does it excite us so? Why do we like to produce it, to be a part of it? Let's make a couple of observations together. First, because excellence is rare. It's rare. Booker T. Washington said this, excellence is to do a common thing in an uncommon way. That's profound. That's insightful. But how often does that happen? You see, excellence is rare. Second observation, excellence takes time. It takes investment. It takes skill. As Colin Powell said, if you are going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in little matters. Excellence is not an exception. It is a prevailing attitude. How true that we make a decision to go for excellence, to always go for excellence, and then we must manage that decision. It's not going to happen magically. Give you a third observation about excellence. Excellence is not easy to attain or maintain. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra. And if anyone teaches us about doing something extra, it is Jesus. I want you to recall that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two. Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. Many of us have heard that expression, go the extra mile. We've heard go the extra mile all of our lives. It comes from the Bible. It is the attitude that leads to excellence. But I will tell you that in that area of a little extra, in that distance along the second mile, is where so many of the enemies to excellence creep in and really hinder us and hold us back from doing things with all our might. You know the enemies of excellence. It's the same usual suspects. It's mediocrity, where we get comfortable with getting by, where we get comfortable with the status quo, where we develop an attitude that says good enough is good enough is good enough. We'll never, that's not doing things with all of our might. That's not serving as unto the Lord. That's an enemy to excellence. Another one we know well is laziness. Proverbs 10 verse 26 gives one of the most profound word pictures of laziness. For the scripture says in that place, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. It is disgust and frustration. And an employer feels that about a lazy employee. Teachers feel that about lazy students. Okay? We don't go for laziness. We are to go for excellence. Fear. Fear keeps people from going that extra mile and attaining excellence. There is a cost to doing things with all your might. There is a cost to going the extra mile. And some people are afraid to pay that cost, or they don't want to pay it now. They think, I just want to play right now. I'm sure I'll pay the cost later. If you go about your life that way, you will forego excellence. What we are saying is, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And so always go for excellence. And I believe the Bible helps. It really helps us. The Bible shows us how. And I'll tell you tonight that we can attain excellence, maintain excellence, when we're about four things. When we care, when we dream, when we risk, and when we expect. Care, dream, risk, expect. And those are the four things we're going to talk to you about right now. Let's go to our notes. Number one in your notes. We attain excellence when, number one, we care more than others think is wise. We attain excellence when we care more than others think is wise. And to consider this kind of care, I need to relay the account of the depth and the daring of a mother's love. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. I want to talk to you about the parents of Moses, and particularly the mother of Moses, and what they did. Her name was Jochebed. How they cared in order to save his life. The Hebrew writer makes mention of a law. It was a terrible law. The king of Egypt had given a terrible command. He had commanded the midwives in Egypt to aid the Hebrew women, aid the Israelite women in giving birth. And yet if they saw that the Hebrew women gave birth to boys, they were supposed to kill the baby boys. That's awful. What had happened is that the Israelites were a nation enslaved to the Egyptians. And Pharaoh feared the population growth. They were becoming too numerous to control. And so he commanded infanticide to control the population. And here is this Jochebed. Here is this mother and her husband. And by keeping a baby boy in their house, they were in great peril. But he was beautiful. And Jochebed determined to be an excellent mother, a caring mother to him. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. How after 3 months of hiding the baby, she devised a plan. How she had made a basket out of bulrushes and pitch, had laid the boy in the basket and placed him in the river near reeds where she knew the Egyptians would come and bathe. Perhaps an Egyptian might take pity on this little baby. You know, an Egyptian can have a little boy around. And sure enough, an Egyptian woman did come. It wasn't just any Egyptian woman, though. It was Pharaoh's daughter. It was Pharaoh's daughter and her maidservants. They came to the river. They saw the baby boy. They saw this boy was beautiful. And not only did Jochebed take care to make sure her child should be found, but she made sure that her older daughter Miriam would hide nearby, would watch what would happen, would offer aid for any who would take the baby. Yes, she offered to that Egyptian woman a nurse. And of course, the nurse for the little baby Moses was in fact his mother Jochebed. Now, to attain excellence, we must care more than others think is wise. Here is Jochebed, and she cares so deeply to hide the baby for 3 months. She risks her own life, the life of her household, if she should be found with him. She cared so deeply to plan a way to give her boy the greatest chance for survival. She cared so deeply to abdicate her place as mother and take the role of nurse that she might remain in little Moses' life. She cared so deeply to give him up to be raised by Egyptians to provide him life. Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses, essentially. She gave her baby up for adoption because of a wicked law that would have demanded his life. At great personal risk, great pain, she ensured Moses' life. She cared more than others would think is wise. I'll tell you tonight that you will only pursue excellence for what you truly love, what you truly value, when you care. When you care. Don't ever be ashamed of caring. Don't ever be afraid to care. Don't apologize for caring, but be sure that you care deeply in the right things. I'll tell you tonight that money is a great servant, but it is a terrible idol. Don't care so much about money and money making that the money becomes your God. In business, you know, business is a great servant. Health and the ability to work, these are blessings from God. But don't care so deeply for your business that it is your business that becomes your God. Care about God. Care about your faith. Care about your family. These things should never be sacrificed on altars of money or success or entertainment or pleasure or popularity. Care about God. There are too many people in this world who either don't care or they care about all the wrong things. They never go for excellence. They never work with all their might. Have your priorities straight. Have your priorities straight, then care more than others think is wise, and you'll attain excellence. I said we're going to care. Number two in your notes, to attain and maintain excellence, we need to dream. We need to dream more than others think is practical. Earlier this summer, the famous physicist Stephen Hawking said that the only hope for the survival of mankind was to send a couple of people to another planet and to colonize that planet in the next 100 years. We got to get people to another planet. Otherwise, people are going to destroy themselves or destroy the Earth. Things are just that bad. We just need to fly away. We just need to start over someplace else. That got a lot of attention. And that certainly is an ambitious dream. But what's interesting is that something like that has been tried before. If you would notice with me in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. The Bible tells us that in the days of Noah, the world had grown so wicked that the thought of men were only evil continually. There was untold wickedness and violence, so much so that God determined he would destroy the earth by a global flood and start over. And yet here is Noah. Noah is a righteous man standing out in the midst of his generation. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And so God warned him about the coming flood, directed him to build a massive wooden ship, this ark, to preserve his family, as well as animals that God would send. And you can read all about that in the book of Genesis, chapters 6 through 9. It really is amazing to read this true account. What I want to impress upon you from Hebrews right now is that Noah had a dream, and that's to save his family. And the kind of dream I'm talking about, it rarely has anything to do with your sleep schedule, all right? I'm talking about a clear picture, a vision of the future that you aspire to. And those that attain excellence dream more than others think is practical. And I'll tell you, Noah did. It was not raining when Noah started building the ark. In fact, the Bible shows us that it took him and his family about 100 years to complete the boat before God ever sent animals to them. Noah is called a preacher of righteousness by the scriptures. Here he is this time sharing God's word, sharing his dream with others. And yet doubtless he is mocked and chastised by his neighbors. You know, the Bible does not even record that it had ever rained before this time. I mean, perhaps it had, but the Bible does not say that it had. And so imagine with me, no rain, no animals, no flood for a century of labor while you're building this massive ship. That ark looked very impractical until it started raining. Noah believed God. Noah believed the word of God. He had a dream to save his family on the ark. And he did. And that is excellent. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, that the rainbow was a sign of a covenant between God and the earth. They're beautiful to look at. But the scripture tells us that when the rainbow appears, God sees it. And God is reminded he will never destroy the world by water again. But for Noah, when he saw a rainbow, he remembered a dream. A dream he took hold of. And made into a reality. That's excellence. That's excellence. And to attain excellence, we dream more than others think is practical. We care. We dream. Number three, to attain excellence, we must risk. Risk more than others think is safe. In the book of Daniel, in the Bible, we learn of a great prophet of God who is also a powerful political leader, a statesman. And though Daniel was a Jew, God had blessed him and he rose to great influence and power within the Persian Empire. In fact, Daniel was one of three governors responsible for a third of the empire. His only boss was the emperor Darius. And in fact, when you come to Daniel chapter 6, you'll find that Daniel was so good at his job that he was up for a promotion. The emperor considered creating a new position
and just put Daniel in charge of the whole thing. That's how much he valued Daniel. I could just give all into Daniel's hand and then play golf. I don't know what Persian emperors had to do. But he knew he could just let Daniel run everything. And so that's the promotion that he's up for. Wow. So if that's Daniel, and Daniel in chapter 6 of the book, how does a fellow like that end up in a lion's den for the night? Sentenced to a death, and a pretty awful one, of being eaten alive by lions. That's quite a twist. What happened? Well, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, we notice that the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. And then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Daniel had a situation, and that is his co-workers and his subordinates were jealous. They didn't want Daniel to get the promotion. And the one weakness Daniel had, in their eyes, truly the secret of his strength, according to the Bible, was his religion. And so these subordinates, they tricked the king into writing this new law, a law that forbid prayer to any god or anyone save the king for 30 days on a penalty of death, on the penalty of an awful death, being thrown into the lion's den. So what does Daniel do? Well, notice Daniel 6 and verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Now, Daniel was an old man, yet he prayed to God 3 times a day nearly all his life. And this law signed into effect, and he was not about to stop. What's he arrested for? He's arrested for praying. The king is actually distraught at this because it is an unintended consequence. And though he tries, he can find no way around the law. And Daniel must be thrown to the lions. The king cannot sleep this night that Daniel is in the lion's den. He rushes to the den in the morning. He calls to Daniel. Look at verse 22. "My God," Daniel replies, "my God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." I'll tell you that Daniel risked more than others think is safe. Daniel was committed to excellently serving God as well as his king. And I believe that a lesser man would have said, "Well, maybe we should take a 30-day break from our prayer time." I think that a lesser man would have said, "Well, tonight we'll just pray with the window shut." Not Daniel. He risked. He risked his promotion that he might pray. He risked his position that he might pray. He risked his standing. He risked his life that he might pray. And yet he would excellently serve God. Live or die, he would excellently serve God. And doesn't it follow that when your priorities are straight and you care most, that your dream is big and you believe, you will go all in and you will take the risk? Care more than others think is wise. Dream more than others think is practical. Risk more than others think is safe. And finally tonight, if we're going to attain excellence, if we're going to go with all our might, then we expect more than others think is possible. Number four, we expect more than others think is possible. Love what the great Packers coach Vince Lombardi said about his squads. Quote, "Perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence." Powerful words for a fellow with very, very high expectations. You knew what that guy was about. High expectations. We attain success when we expect more than others think is possible. When I think about a person who exhibits this type of confidence, expectation, and success, I think about David and Goliath. How can you not?
Be turning with me in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And while you're turning there, you might consider with me what is one of my all-time favorite accounts in the Bible. When Israel's great king, though at the time a youth and a shepherd, kills the Philistine champion, the giant Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find that the army of Israel is on one side of a valley, the valley of Elah, and the Philistines are all encamped on another. I wanted to show this picture because I got to take this picture 2 years ago. And so you know how it is when you take a picture, you want to show it. And I was standing there in the middle of the valley of Elah. And boy, you can just see it. And I guess, what is it? On the left there, the white rocks. Okay, there's a little brook at the foot of that hill. You remember David had to cross a brook to go to the middle of the valley. You see the high rise where the valley ends over across the way, over to the right of your screen. And that's where evidently the Philistines were. It was a powerful thing to stand there. The Philistines had a champion. A giant, a great man named Goliath. He came out into the middle of this valley. And he cursed the Israelites and he cursed their God every day, daring them to send one champion to meet him in battle every day, twice a day, for 40 days. And everybody was scared. What will we do? Until this young shepherd boy named David arrives, who was not even a soldier in Israel's army. He had actually come there to check up on his brothers. His brothers were soldiers. He wasn't a soldier. And he witnesses Goliath's taunts and his blasphemies once. And he determined he was going to go down and fight Goliath. But everyone thought, this is impossible. David's father, Jesse, didn't even allow David to be in the army. Okay, he wasn't a soldier by trade. David's older brothers, they all thought he was too small to go and fight. In fact, they thought he had just come to kind of be a spectator and watch some gore of battle. Israel's king Saul was worried that David couldn't even wear the armor that he had provided him. Goliath mocked David to his face. Everybody said, this is impossible, David. Don't you know this is impossible? And yet David faces Goliath with these words. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Look at verse 47. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Can I tell you something about David? He expected to win. David expected victory by God's hand. David expected victory for God's glory. And David cast a stone from his sling that killed a giant. David knew that one man and God make a majority. And David knew that all things are possible with God, even when everyone else is saying, no, this is impossible. If it's right in the will of God, it occurs. Jesus teaches us in the gospel, in Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at them and he said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I tell you that when we know the will of God as expressed in the Word of God, we develop some of the character of God. And God is excellent. Excellence is possible. Always go for excellence. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I appreciate so much your good attention tonight. And I invite you to put your notes away now, put your Bibles away now, because we're going to have some more song worship in just a moment. Our God is excellent. The Bible says we're created in the image of God. We appreciate it. There was an old greeting card slogan, care enough to send the very best. I'll tell you something about our God. That's exactly what he did.
when he sent the Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to be a sinless sacrifice. He died for us and he rose again. He promises victory for all who will make him their king and follow him, who will repent of sin in their life, confess their faith that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Lord, and be baptized, be immersed in water, have their sins washed away. Jesus makes us right with God. He gives us a new life. It's a precious gift we have in Christ. We need to serve him, whatever our hand finds to do, with all our might. If we can help you to put on Christ in baptism, or pray for you, minister to any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now, so that we stand and sing. Won't you come?